Karens are hard, aren't they? Where that's going. There's some of those bushes outside the window in my office at 51 Island Road, and every working bee, they get hacked back to the ground and then they grow up sort of up past through the window. But they're quite cool because often wax eyes and things nest in them and hide in them. And then they fly around and I get to watch them. Okay, so I'm just going to read from Luke again. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." I feel like I could just read this passage through slowly again and again, and that would be enough for us to reflect upon today. I'd also really like to come back to this passage sometime and work through it slowly and in more detail together. There is so much beauty and strength, so much of who God is to ponder in these verses. And as I've prepared these reflections and blogs over these past few weeks, the thing that has struck me again and again is how God was working in a totally different way to the prevailing culture of Israel in 4 BCE or whenever it was. A young woman, seen as property, this is what Karen said too, of her father or husband, is invited by God to participate in God's ultimate plan to show humanity God's love. And even more amazingly, she's given a choice to take part. An older woman, seen as a failure in her community because she's not had a child, is given the baby that will prepare the way for the Messiah. And she and her baby are the first to recognize the wonder of what is happening to Mary. And now Mary prophesies of God's love for humanity and uses words that were so common for people in that time, longing for a Messiah. However, the Messiah that arrived was so different from what people were expecting that many failed to recognize him. And the whisper that I hear is, this God who upends society's values and ways, what is this God inviting us to participate in here today in Aotearoa Christchurch, in what's left of 2021 and on into 2022 and beyond? So let's look at Mary's song. Mary is finally with her cousin Elizabeth, and what a greeting she's had. Elizabeth and the baby inside her have recognised and confirmed the words of the angel to Mary. The baby growing inside her belly is the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, the good news for the whole world. And Mary's heart, mind, and voice explode in this beautiful song. In my imagination, she flings out her arms and circles as she cries out the song of gratitude, wonder, and prophecy. She kind of looks like Maria in the opening scenes of The Sound of Music, singing in the mountains. This is a song that echoes. The words are so familiar through the Old Testament. Mary would have sung and known these words deep in her heart. They were the cry of her people to their God. Elaine Storkey reflects that as Mary sings of who God is and what God is like and what God has done in the past, Mary is also singing of what is to come. God has remembered to be merciful. God has fulfilled God's promises. In Jesus Christ, God will open up mercy and grace to all, irrespective of their place or origin or their religious history. There will be no more condemnation for those who are in Christ, for our sins will be forgiven and God will remember them no more. God will dwell within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. God was the rescuer. Mary, like those before her, sings of her own deliverance, identified with that of the whole people of God. She brings the words of her people into the present reality she is facing and acknowledges that God is her saviour, her deliverer, and her rescuer. Each line of the song shows us the character and nature of God. And the words point us ahead to the words that Jesus uses in Luke 4, 18 and 19 when he describes his mission for the first time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. N.T. Wright says of Mary's song, "It's the gospel before the gospel, a fierce, bright shout of triumph, 30 weeks before Bethlehem, 30 years before Calvary and Easter. It goes with a swing and a clap and a stamp. It's all about God and it's all about revolution. And it's all because of Jesus, Jesus who's only just been conceived, not yet born, but who has made Mary giddy with excitement and hope and triumph." There's a picture that I put in the blog this week, and it's of an image of a woodcut by the artist Ben Wildflower. I'd encourage you to go and have a look at it. It's the main picture that I have been held in my head as I've been reading and preparing for this Advent season, and I love it. It's so different from the picture of Mary that we often see, looking so serene and separate. This Mary is angsty and real and strong. I love her jutting out chin and her fist raised in defiance of the prevailing culture around her. She is stamping on the snake in the skull. And this isn't often an image used in pictures of Mary, that she is, in bringing Christ into the world, stamping on the power of the enemy when sin and death were brought into the world through Adam and Eve. The all-powerful God who Mary sings about is the God who chooses to step away from that power because of love, time and time again. Love for humanity, for all of God's creation. Love for you, love for me, love for our neighbours and love for the whole world. Mary's song calls for revolution, an upturning of the power and structures that held her down in her day through the baby that was growing inside her. Mary's song invites us to revolution too, today, to declare God's mercy and love in our generation and to work for this inside-outside, upside-down kingdom that Jesus has brought into the world. And so I go back to my question in the beginning. This God who upends society's values and ways, what is this God inviting us to participate in here today in Aotearoa Christchurch, and what's left of this year, into next year and beyond?
Thought we'd just take a couple of minutes to see if anyone's got any responses or thoughts to the surprising person and journey of Mary. So if anyone wants to just, if you've got a thought, just can stand up and say, or questions, challenges for us.
I'm Kelly. I think I know everyone at the moment. I was just saying to Helen the other day, as I get older, the story of Christmas becomes way more, I don't know what the word is, but way more important to me almost than the story of Easter. And it's kind of a strange transition. I think often in the Protestant church we think of Easter as the high point of Christianity, where Jesus died for our sins, and we think about him rising from the dead and sort of victory. But I think what I love about the story of Mary and the Christmas story is just, it's the everyday reality of being a Christian, of just saying yes to the things that come before us that seem a bit strange, that are hard, and just following those little yeses all through life. And so that was really struck me today when you were both speaking about Mary, how that yes sort of framed her life and her obedience to God through that. Yeah.
Kia ora, I'm Jeff. Also from a discussion I had with Helen on Thursday, the idea that Mary's yes was a kind of defiant yes. She was able to break all the gender stuff and all the power stuff, but a non-powerful yes. She did it from a really gentle way, and that's the whole story of Jesus as well, this kind of defiance of truth and do what God says, but not use power to do it. And that's been with me ever since that conversation, Helen.
From the experience of trying to find someone to play Mary in the Nativity play, and I did ask around quite a bit, and I think, you know, sometimes that yes is probably quite rare. But, you know, just thinking of our own response to God sometimes, like, it probably is quite special what Mary did, because it's quite rare sometimes to have that heart of saying, yes, I'll do it.
I've been listening to the last book that Rachel Howard Evans was working on before she died, listening to it, and this was one of the bits that was read out this week as I was listening to it. When the Magnificat is sung in a warm candle-lit church in Advent, it can be easy to feel these words rounded and softened. It can lull us into imagining them as comforting, non-specific, and even symbolic. But there are times when that hasn't felt right at all, and I wonder whether this sort of gauzy sentimentality might even be a misreading of this prayer, which echoes the most bracing psalms with its boldness and its candour. In some seasons, it has felt more appropriate to imagine Mary's Magnificat being shouted, not sung. In the Michelin-starred restaurants and on the floors of the stock exchanges, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. In the corridors of the West Wing and the Capitol, he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. In the streets of Charlottesville and Hong Kong, Moscow and Mandalay, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. Among the women who have survived assault, harassment, and rape only to be publicly maligned by their powerful abusers, he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Among the poor, the refugees, the victims of gun violence, and the faithful ministers of the gospel who are speaking with courage against the false religions of nationalism and white supremacy, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. In the Magnificat, Mary isn't merely making a birth announcement. This prayer is definitely not the ancient Palestinian equivalent of a gender reveal party. Her words are not the spiritual equivalent of cutting a buttercream cake that turns out to have bright blue frosting inside. Instead, Mary's holy soliloquy seems breathtaking in its bravado. She declares the inauguration of a new kingdom, one that stands in stark contrast to every other regime, past, present, and future, that relies on violence and exploitation to achieve greatness.
Thank you, Rochelle. A really wonderful reflections on Mary. So I encourage us to engage with Mary this week and in our practice and in our ways of doing, ways of praying and meeting with God. I wondered if there's any of the people who went out looking for symbols of Christmas outside, is there anyone who has a birthday in December who...